Good morning. We're going to be in the book of James this month of July. So turn to the book of James in chapter 4. Couple verses and get started. We didn't quite get to finish the chapter the last time it was my turn. So we're going to go down and we're going to start reading in verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? And we'll stop there, and that's the section that we'll be looking at today in our lesson. But let's ask the Lord to bless our Sunday school lesson this morning. Lord Jesus, we come to you, Lord, in humility and in need, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the wisdom that it brings. We thank you for the correction that it brings. I pray that you'd help us today. Lord, we're in great need of your help. I pray that you would help us by your word to correct ourselves and to identify what's good and what's bad, to know your mind on everything around us. And Lord, I just pray that you'd give me the words to speak, help me to communicate your word effectively and in a right way. And Lord, we just give this whole lesson into your hands, plus the other Sunday school classes that are meeting this morning. Lord, we just ask that your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've got a section in here that talks about evil speaking, and specifically evil speaking one of another. And so the basic premise is he gives a command here. He says, this is what we don't do. This is what I don't want you to do. He said, speak not evil one of another. And then he also talks about a secondary subject that's pretty much connected with the speaking of evil, and that's the idea of judging your brother. Okay, so we have the idea of speaking evil, and we have the idea of judging. And so that's what he's going to talk about. Basically, what I want to point out in this lesson today, I want to try to get through a couple of main points. And the number one is I want to identify it. What is evil speaking? Because you may think that some things are evil speaking when they're not. There is a definition to evil speaking. And under that heading, we're going to talk a little bit about how we accomplish this, how we evil speak. What is it? Exactly how do we accomplish this? And this is not to teach you how to evil speak. It's actually to teach you how not to evil speak. And we'll talk about how and the motives, why we do it, how we do it, and some of the damage, the results that it causes. And then I want to say a little bit, not in great detail, but a little bit about what evil speaking is not, what judging is not, what he's not talking about here, because it's not an all-inclusive category. In it also, we're going to look at two supporting arguments that he gives for not evil speaking. One being the person that speaks evil of another speaks evil of the law. And also the person that speaks evil of another sets himself up over the judge as his own judge. And it's very clear that he points out that there is a law, that there is a royal law, a law of love, and there's also a lawgiver who judges and condemns. And so we don't want to usurp that and put ourselves in that position. And then hopefully we get a little bit of time to talk about a solution, how we can do this. But evil speaking, okay, what is it? I don't think that it would take us too long to come up with a definition for evil speaking. We've got incredible examples in society today concerning evil speaking.
That's right.
It's really a shame how, and this is not to favor one side or another. I'm telling you, all portions, all branches, not even branches, but all sections and factions of politics is rife with evil speaking. It's not enough to talk to about your opponent and say, my opponent has this and this idea on border security. The reasons why his ideas are flawed is because of A, B, and C. You know, that would be a debate on the issues, and that wouldn't be considered evil speaking. You're taking an opponent's position, and you're laying out the weaknesses of that position, but unfortunately, that's not what happens. This is what happens. So-and-so is against a border wall. There was a pedophile that came across the border and murdered a child. Therefore, my opponent wants to murder your children. That's evil speaking. My opponent wants to murder your children. And if you think that that's going overboard, that's exactly what's happening to that extent. It's not enough just to talk about the issues. You have to bring in this personal slander and denigration. You have to absolutely destroy the character of your opponent. And I think pretty much everybody is sick and fed up with it up to here in our politicians. In our personal life, we're still free. We're still free to do what we want to do and talk about who we want to talk about. Legally, there's two types of defamation of character. One is libel, where you actually write something about somebody. I don't know if you guys remember the tragedy that took place in Sandy Hook, where a man came in with a gun into a school and shot up a bunch of innocent kids. Horrible, horrible tragedy. Well, there was a conspiracy theorist that wrote a book saying it never happened. It was a conspiracy of the government. It was a cover-up and all of this. And then he brought in evidence. He said one of the fathers of one of the children actually falsified a death certificate, said some other things about him. Well, that dad sued and won a libel case against this writer because he said something publicly, wrote it down about another person that was not true. And the courts give. Thank God for our justice system. Man, we could be in other countries where human rights are just run over rampantly, and I know we got a lot of problems, but still, thank God for courts where you can actually go through and defend yourself. Slander is what's actually spoken about somebody else. And so we've got slander, we've got libel. These are some subcategories of what evil speaking is about. But basically, what he's talking about is he's asking us not to evil speak one of another. So it's not even the case that these Christians, and there's some debate about whether he's talking about the Jews or whether he's talking about Christians. I don't think it matters either way. It absolutely applies either way. It's the way that we talk about and the way that we judge one another. I've often thought that, you know, Christians are often referred to as sheep. I've often thought maybe, you know, the more accurate term would be wolves, because when a Christian smells blood, he gathers around. You ever notice that? I mean, sad. It's a shame, but it's the case, man. Somebody gets into a little bit of trouble, has a little bit of controversy in their life, something happens, and all of a sudden the Christians are gathering around. Did you hear? I heard, you know, well, what somebody so-and-so told me, and then you begin this whole string of evil speaking, you know, if it's not your particular sin, well, then you can just pray for the rest of us. But the one thing that I know about myself is that, yeah, it's really easy to do. And it can be real harmful. Eleanor Roosevelt once said, I think I got the quote out of one of your Verlaine's For Women Only. I always read that before my wife. She had some really good things to say. Man, you ought to read Verlaine's For Women Only. I think it's on the website. And she had a phrase in there one time from Eleanor Roosevelt. And this is what Eleanor Roosevelt said. She said, great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people. And it's not scripture, but it's pretty wise. You know, the easiest thing in the world to do is strike up a conversation about somebody else. So what is it? It's to defame, to denigrate, or to slander somebody else's character. To judge motives and character without proof. Have you ever gotten something wrong in judging somebody? Have you ever thought somebody's motives were one thing when it turned out later on that that wasn't their motive at all? We have to be real careful judging one another's motives and judging one another's character. There are some things to judge, and we'll get into that. One of the things the Bible talks about, look at Proverbs chapter 25, 23. I always like this particular description. Hopefully I got the right proverb here. Proverbs 25, 23. It says in verse 23, it says, the north wind driveth away rain, and so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Here's the phrase, backbiting. You know what that means, right? It means you bit somebody on the back. This is, we call it backstabbing. You ever backstab somebody? You know what that means? Is you say something evil or derogatory about another person without them being there to defend themselves.
There you go.
And somebody told me one time, well, when else am I going to talk about them except when they're not here? You know? But, I mean, it's basically a form of cowardice. Road rage is cowardice. You got a big 4,000-pound vehicle there to defend you, and it's not, you don't see, excuse me, getting that puberty squeak there going. You don't get road rage in HEB. When's the last time somebody rammed a cart into you or cut you off? Now, maybe when you're going to the checkout line, yeah, maybe, but there's no road rage because you're face-to-face. You're right there. I remember one time I was in HEB just minding my own business, and I saw Loopy, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to have some fun here. So I went and rammed her cart, and I said, ma'am. And she freaked out and ran away. I had to go get her and bring her back, and I said, I'm sorry. You gotta watch practical jokes sometimes. But to backbite. You know, I had a dog that was a backbiter. He was a coward. His name was Patches. And I remember he'd go up against the fence, and him and Randy's dog, I had some goat fence there, and they would be rah, 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 right. As long as that fence was there, me and Randy came out one day, the dogs are going at it. We're just standing out there looking at the dogs. And finally I picked up my dog Patches, and I took him and I threw him over the fence. Immediately they started circling and sniffing one another. I like, Patches, you coward. You coward. But isn't that the way we are? You know, I've got people in my life, not Christians, but others, that will smile in your face and they'll treat you with respect. But then the stories come back about the things that they've said about me. And I'm like, hey, no way. Come on, man. But isn't that the way that we are? That's backbiting. That's evil speaking is in a sense, it's cowardice. But then there are other people that'll evil speak you to your face, so it's not always true. But I remember Ken Cunahero one time. We had him out to lunch, And he was talking about a particular incident that took place, and he was in São Paulo, Brazil. And if any of you knew Ken, no, it was Hideo, not Ken. Ken was the very calm guy. Hideo was the very strong, forceful. And he said he was walking down the street in São Paulo, Brazil, and a guy came up behind him and stuck a gun in his back and said, "Give me your wallet." And Ken told the man, he said, "No, you come around. You come around. You shoot me in my face like a man." He said the guy ran away, didn't know what to do. Cowardice. To speak with malice, with the intention to hurt somebody. I don't know if you remember what we dealt with here in the book of James, but we dealt with humility, about humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord. A lot of humility has to do with how you see yourself in the sight of God. And a lot of evil speaking is just rooted in pride and in self-arrogance and thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And pride and arrogance, it's absolutely rampant in our society. But here's a couple of ways on how we slander. One is by blatant false accusation. Just blatant false accusation. Jesus Christ experienced this when he was on trial, and they had false witnesses that came and just told outright lies about somebody. And I'm telling you, Christianity is not immune to that. I think you've experienced it before, where somebody has been told just an outright lie about somebody that's absolutely not true. And here's the problem. When that lie is spoken, people around immediately are prone to believe it. Isn't that the case? Somebody says something about a brother or a sister, and before you know it, you're thinking in your mind, you know what? Yeah, I can see that brother doing that. You know, automatically you're starting to believe it without challenging it, and without an angry countenance turneth away backbiting. Or how does it say it there? An angry, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. When's the last time somebody said something about somebody and then you immediately said, "Stop"? Instead of, "Oh," and believe me, we can couch it in very righteous terms, can't we? "Oh, brother, I'm just telling this so that you can pray." Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know what? You can pray. Somebody texted Judy the other day and said, "I'm not going to tell you who I am. I'm not going to tell you what's going on with me, but I'm in a real pickle right now, and I could really use some prayers." And they were talking about themselves, but they didn't reveal who they are or what their problem was. And so Judy and I, when we're reading the text, we were very curious, but we didn't investigate it. Because when you're praying like that, it really doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what the situation is. Look, there are some things that we have to be more discreet, I think, than what we already are. We want to know too much dirty laundry about other people. We want to know all the details, and we want to know all this and that. But Judy was well capable of praying for this person, encouraging this person, even though she didn't specifically know what was going on. Sent her some verses, gave her some encouragement, was praying for her. But we have this morbid curiosity that we want to know what's going on with other people. And I think the Bible calls it busybody, getting involved in the affairs of others. Look, we got to have some discretion. But and I got kind of off track on that. So just a blatant lie. You know, Diotrephes wanted to have preeminence among those, so he withstood the apostles. I'm sure he was telling them lies and telling them other things about them. They told lies on Jesus. And there'll be people that'll tell lies on you. It's part of our human nature. There is within us, "Oh, I believe that all men are basically good." Well, yeah, I can understand how you would love to think that, but the Bible teaches us that all men are basically evil. We have this undercurrent within us, this undercurrent of malice, this other undercurrent of destruction. The other thing is the exaggeration of faults. That's also slander. When you exaggerate somebody's faults and make them appear before other people worse than what they are. I was a victim of this recently. And this gets into the area of libel. And we have a framework now that allows us to evil speak more than ever before. Have you ever been the victim of an online review? I hate online reviews. Because somebody can say anything at all about you without any repercussions. I was pulling up to a lady's house, and if that particular individual is listening to this message, but I was pulling up to this lady's house, knocked on the door, was getting ready for our appointment. I was 5 minutes early. That's a crime. 5 minutes early. Nobody answered the door. The lights were off. No evidence of anybody being there. So I put my card in the door and I called the number, left a message on the phone, and then I left. That afternoon, the owner calls and he says, "Hey, you know, we got a 1-star review on you." 1-star review. Now, if you're running a business, a 1-star review can bring down your reputation. Somebody could look at that 1-star review. 2 solid paragraphs about me. 2 paragraphs. This and this and this. And I'm like, all I did was knock on the door. That's all I was 5 minutes early, you know? Oh man. And hopefully reasonable people, they read that and they're like, oh, come on. Really? Seriously? Nothing? Come on, man. But isn't it the case that we get into the habit, we would love to destroy somebody over the exaggeration of a fault? And listen, we all have faults. We all have defects in our character. I'm telling you, that's why we try to, it doesn't always work, but me and Bill and Brent and Lyndall, you know, we work together. We're elders, but man, we're not gods and we're not lords over God's heritage. We're just men, you know, that have faults, and we try to be real and honest in that regard and not portray ourselves to be more than what we are. But we all got faults. But I'm telling you, when you take a brother or a sister's fault and you exaggerate it and you make it more than what it really is, you take 2 paragraphs over a minor defect in somebody's character, that's evil speaking. And it can hurt somebody because somebody else can get the impression that that person is worse than what they are. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. Amen. You see, the whole idea is the attitude that underlies evil speaking. He said, love covers a multitude of sins. And when you needlessly continue to repeat somebody else's faults, then that's also the same thing. That's evil speaking. You just can't let it go, right? You got to tell somebody else what this person did to you. And then you tell somebody else what this person did to you. And then you tell another person what this person did to you. And you're going around looking for counsel. Hey, you know, I wonder why many times when somebody has a problem with me, it gets around from a third party. Oh, you know, so-and-so, you know, they had this issue. And I keep thinking, why didn't they come to me? Because the Bible does have a framework with that. You look in Matthew chapter 18. You got something against a brother. You got something that's going on. Then it says, go to him. Amen. Go to that person directly. That's not evil speaking. And say, hey, brother, I got a problem. Or, hey, sister, I've got an issue. Let's sit down and talk about this. But it's a whole lot easier to go to a third party and do the same thing. This is called in the Bible tale bearing. Yeah. The words of a tale bearer, Proverbs says, are like deep wounds. Yep.
It's the whole reason why we tell couples to try to keep their problems in the marriage themselves and not to go out and above. Because, man, you start slandering your wife to your mom or your dad, then they're going to get impression that your wife is evil. And then you and your wife make up, but mom and dad are still mad.
That's true.
You put impressions in other people's minds about a particular individual that hurts their character and hurts other people's image of them. That's evil speaking. It's malicious is what it is. Because then there's the kind of evil speaking where you are intent on hurting somebody. It was obviously with that online review, that lady wanted to hurt me. I remember, and I've told this story too, but it's such a glaring example of a guy that was, we were sitting outside of his house and we were talking about his driveway or something, I don't remember. And so we were standing out there by the trash can, trash guy comes back and he gets ready to take the trash, but because we're standing there, I guess he wants to be polite, so he just passes us on by. The guy went insane. I said, hey, well, you know, we should have backed off. It's no, he looked at me and he walked right on by. He started yelling at the guy. He said, I'm gonna have your job. He was on the phone to the sanitation company and he wanted that man fired. And I'm trying to talk to him. I'm trying to settle him down. I said, look, you're going to destroy a man's life over this. But that's what evil speaking does. And that's people's mentality. I mean, and now just in society, and look, whatever is in society soaks into us, right? We're part of it because we're part of society. It's not us and them. We are part of society. And there is this mentality that you would actually want to destroy somebody else. You want them to be fired. You want them severe consequences because your restaurant order wasn't quite right. And if you guys that work in restaurants or work in the service industry, work in retail, you know what I'm talking about. There are people that come in that absolutely go ballistic over nothing. Did you know? Oh, by the way, part of tailbearing is repeating something.
That's true.
Repeating something. How many times have I heard something and then on the way home, I tell Judy, oh, by the way, guess what I heard? And she never puts her hand up and says, none of my business. She always says, what did you hear?
So it's her fault.
Oh, no, because it goes both ways. Judy's like, can I tell you something that I heard? And I says, by all means. Names, dates, times, evidence, everything. I want all the dirt. Oh, man, we are so wicked.
You're right.
We are so full of it. We are so wicked. We will eat each other alive. The whole command of love one another, love thy neighbor as thyself, just goes out the window. There's not this framework of mind that if I repeat this, then it may actually hurt the character and the reputation of this individual. And listen, this can be, when we're talking about the damage that it causes, man, slander and defamation, it can destroy somebody's life even if it's proven to be untrue. Man, they go to court and this person said this and this person said that. And there are movements out there that are accusatory. There have been cases where women have falsely accused men of rape. And the men have actually done time in prison. And then it come to find out later that that wasn't true, that the individual was lying about the whole situation. And then they turn it around. But by then, it's over. The dude's already lost his job. I had a good friend of mine lost a top secret military security clearance because of a lie. And once it was all cleared up, he couldn't get the security clearance back. Lost his $100,000 a year job, lost his reputation, lost everything over a lie. Listen, we need to learn the principle of zip lock. Right?
Amen.
Because gossip and innuendo and evil speaking, it can really damage another person's reputation. And they may never get that reputation back. Love covers multitude of sins. No, but it's the vengeance in us. They hurt me, so I am gonna hurt them back. We've lost the whole idea of vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. We've lost the whole idea of suffering wrong. You know, you don't have to defend yourself in every little thing. Some of it's just self-elevation. You know, the quickest way to make yourself look good is to downgrade somebody else. Quickest way to elevate yourself is to bring your opponent down. It's all evil speaking. We could take example after example, but it is all evil speaking. Slander and evil speaking have no concern for what damage it does to the individual. I'm telling you, we ought to have a pact right here where we get before the Lord and we say, Lord, I am not going to say anything about another person that's derogatory to their character without stopping and considering and ziplocking. Serious. Because we just let it go sometimes. And believe me, none of us are innocent.
Right.
Amen. We're all guilty. I'm guilty of it. And believe me, it's a fun pastime. Make fun of other people's weaknesses and to denigrate somebody else. It's a fun pastime, but I'm soaking it in from society. I'm seeing it because I see it in my politicians. I see it in my leaders. I see it in society, but God has another idea for us. You see, the whole idea why society is splintering and why our world is such a mess is because they've left God's principles. God gave us an incredible law. And we're not talking about mixing polyester and cotton when he's talking about this royal law. He says, this is what I want you to do. The whole law hangs on one thing. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and breath, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the principle. Do you realize that we can cure cancer? We can sequence DNA. We can cure a birth defect in the womb. But we can't figure out how to love one another because we've left off the whole key to love, and that's God. God wants us to love. Why do we do it? Because in us we have vengeance. In us we have envy. Sometimes we evil speak other people just because we're envious of them. And so because we're envious of what they have or who they are or their station in life or their success or whatever it is, we decide it's time to bring them down a notch. We've got envy. We've got this malice and this attitude in us to want to hurt somebody else. And we want to definitely make ourselves look better. Look, I think we could probably get more examples, but it's really clear. James gives us some really good advice. Mm-hmm. Speak not evil one of another, brethren.
Yes.
Hey, we need each other. Instead of the evil speaking, we need maybe some more praying. Instead of the evil speaking, we need more of the constructive kind of speaking. Now, Matthew chapter 7 in verse 1 is a real popular verse. In Matthew 7, 1, get to the book of Matthew here. He says, judge not that you be not judged. And so what that means is you could never evaluate anybody else's character. Because what I want to talk about a little bit, because back there in James, he's talking about judging one another. He says, you got to stop judging one another. And this is what he's not talking about. He's not talking about all judgments. Let's go through this passage. It says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged.
And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. There's the principle. You don't judge because you're going to be judged with the same way that you judge somebody else. And look, that's putting the brakes on this right here. Because would I want somebody else to be talking about me the way that I talk about other people? Would I want people to slander and to destroy me the same way that days I go and I try to slander and destroy somebody else? Absolutely not. Therefore, I shouldn't judge because I'm going to be judged with the same judgment, and I don't want that. And then it gives some real good advice. It says in verse 3, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Amen. Wow, I'm telling you what, that is useful, man. God is so wise to characterize these things in the way. You know what it's doing? It's saying that your fault is a beam and your neighbor's fault is a mote. In comparison, your faults are much greater than his. And so it talks about self-correction right here. "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thine eye, and behold a beam that is on thine own eye?" Verse 5, here's the advice. "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull the mote, to cast out the mote that is out of thy brother's eye." And so basically the whole premise of this is you judge yourself so that you are more capable of judging somebody else. And listen, there is judgments to make in the church. There's actually two facets. It's using the same term, but it's actually got a little bit different meaning. When it's talking about judging your brother, trying to figure out what his character is, what his motives are. He said something. Do you really... And you're trying to figure out what did he mean by what he said, you know, and you're trying to get underlying junk going on. But there's a lot of things that we do need to judge. Paul came down really hard on the Corinthian church because there was someone in the church that had sinned and they weren't judging that sin. Let me tell you what it's not talking about. It's not talking about judging a brother's sin. There is a framework in place for judging sin in the church. There are expectations that people have of the church that it should be a non-judgmental place, where nobody ever comes down on anybody for anything. Now, in this sense, if somebody just walked off the street, didn't know church, God, the Bible, or anything, I'm telling you what, they're welcome. They're welcome to come sit on the front row. Got a homeless man that wants to come in and hear the word of God right there on the front row. You've got other questionable people in society that want to come into the church. I'm telling you, there's no judgment. You come just as you are, sit there in the front seat. We're not going to make you get a Christian haircut and put on Christian clothes and talk Christian talk. You just come in and sit down. You're welcome. That's, in that sense, non-judgmental. That's the way that the church ought to be. But within the church, if somebody that's called a Christian is in open sin, what does that do? It hurts our reputation. And so we have to judge that.
That's true.
We've got to judge that. We've had, in the past, we've had cases where we've had to do church discipline. And look, we are never happy about church discipline. Yeah. If you've ever experienced it where we've had to discipline, you may just see the church discipline, but you don't see the hours of visitation beforehand. You don't see the times where the elders have gotten together and tried to figure out any way possible we can keep this from happening, and the prayers and all of the work and the effort to try to restore a brother. And then you don't see afterwards the whole idea. The whole idea of church discipline is to restoration, to bring somebody back. So yeah, you may see church discipline and think that the church is judgmental, but by the same token, you ought to see it when somebody repents and comes back. Look, it's all debts forgiven. The slate is clean. You come back in with open arms. There's forgiveness. There's healing. There's restoration. You see, that's what God's intention is when he chastises us. He's a good father. And so when he chastises us, it's for his correction. It's to make us better, just like a good dad would do to his kids. Amen.
It's one thing for a dad to be dealing with his son and trying to, trying to work with his character and discipline him and guide him and put parameters in place to turn him into the man that he wants him to be. And it's a whole nother thing to just lash out in anger and wickedness on your child and call him an idiot and denigrate him and say, you good for nothing. You're never going to come out right. You know, you're never going to do anything with your life. You know, there's a huge difference between that. But listen, judging is our duty. It's our duty to judge. When we have the open meeting, some people misinterpret the open meeting. It's, yeah, I can get up and say whatever I want to say. But the Bible says, let two or three speak and let the others what?
Judge.
Yep. That means I listen to what's said and I determine whether that thing is true or not or useful. And listen, when somebody stands up in the open meeting and says something wrong, it doesn't always mean that we come down like a ton of bricks. Sometimes we just overlook it and just pass it by. But if there's bad doctrine, we got to judge that. If there's false teaching, I'm telling you, we got to judge that. Paul said in the book of Galatians that they suffered it. No, not for an hour, you know. They didn't let them get a foothold into the church. And so I'm telling you what it's not. Judging is not never saying anything about somebody. There are times you need to be talked to. There are times when a brother needs to come up to you and put his arm around you and say, hey, bud, we need to talk. You know, I've had that experience before. It has been humbling, but it has been so incredibly constructive. A couple of words. Reprove is for the correction and the improvement of the other individual. Rebuke, it's the same thing. It's in order to bring repentance. Exhort, that's to build somebody up. He said to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. These are good words aimed at the correction and the instruction and the building up of a brother or a sister. Evil speaking does absolutely the opposite. There's no case for repentance. It's all denigration of character and malice and destruction. And there have been many Christians that have been left in the wake of evil speaking. And there's very little recovery for it. So what it's not no judgment. It's just that we've got to use our will and determine. Now, go back there to the book of James. Oh man, we got to wrap this up. Okay, so go back there to the book of James in chapter 4. We're going to have to come to a stopping spot here. So he says there in verse 11, he says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges this brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou be a judge of the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? So when we come together next week, we're going to talk about these two supporting arguments that he brings out. One is when you judge somebody else and you speak evil of your brother or your sister, you're speaking evil of the law. And then the second thing is you're putting yourself above the lawgiver. You're putting yourself in the place of judge. And what happens a lot with gossip is you present the evidence, you try and convict someone, and you sentence them all in one shot. And that's evil. We'll pick that up next week.